Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Pei Alf. Begin 10 lines down with the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues on the same vein as we said in the previous daf regarding the Halacha by Mishnah, that we said the Eisev Es Benoi applies both by Kachim and by Chulin. So Amar Rav Nuna, as we said this in the previous daf, that Oymahar Reb Shimon, Ein Eisev Es Benoi Nerg B'Kachim. Like we said, the Halacha by Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that the whole prohibition of Eisev Es Benoi does not apply by Karbanos. My time, what's the reason? As we said, a slaughtering that doesn't make it fit to be eaten, to be used, that's not considered, quote, a slaughtering. And the halacha of Eisev Es Benoi is with slaughtering. So the slaughtering of kachim in general never makes it into ruya, like we said, because it's not considered fit yet until the blood is actually thrown. So the slaughtering itself is not making ruya, so it's not considered shechita to be liable for Eisev Es Benoi. And that is the Gemara from the following Braisa, Masav Rava. The Braisa says, Eisev Es Benoi kachim machut. Like we spoke about in the Mishnah, different type of cases with the mother and the child, if they're both kachim, if they're both chulin, if they're both in the azar, if they're both out of the azar. So the Braisa is talking about the case where the mother and this child are both karbanis, and they're both being slaughtered out of the azar. Pshim and Aime, he says, Sheini beloisase. The liability for the second animal to be slaughtered is a negative prohibition of shchutei chutz, of being slaughtered out of the azara. Meaning, although generally there's a liability of karis for shchutei chutz, in this case, there's not going to be a punishment of karis, because a prerequisite to be chayiv b'chutz is if it's a viable inside, and here, it's not viable inside. However, there's still going to be a negative prohibition, because since it could be accepted in the azara at a later point in time, this negative prohibition, which is unique, because although now it's not, therefore there's no karis, but there's still going to be a negative prohibition because it's viable at a later point in time. Gemara explains in the last parak in Zvachim Nef Kod Vidal Manal from a pasuk leisasin kechol asher nachnu eisim. It's learned there from a pasuk that comes to include that. Whereas the Braisa says shahay Reb Shimon Eimer, because Reb Shimon said this idea kol roi lo v'la'achas man. Although now it's not fit inside, so it can be chayv karis for slaughtering outside, but at a later point in time. Like here, it's only today that it's not, because the mother was already slaughtered this day. But tomorrow it's fit to be brought as a carbon. So there's still going to be at least a negative prohibition, but ve'im b'karis is not going to be the punishment of karis of shchutei chutz. That's Reb Shimon. The sages say, no, kol she'im b'karis in b'leisasei. There's no middle stage like Reb Shimon is describing. If there's no punishment of karis for shchutei chutz, because you can't bring it inside today, then there's neither even a negative prohibition of violating it for having slaughtered outside. Now, that's the Braisa. Says Rava, before he asked the question, he says, V'kashlan, we had a difficulty with this Braisa. Kachim machot, the case of the Braisa is where both of them are karbanos being slaughtered out of the azar. Shimon says, Sheini b'leisasei, the second one is violating a negative prohibition. Now, the question is, why? Kama miktal katal. According to Rabbi Shimon, the first carbon that was slaughtered outside, essentially is considered like it was killed, not as slaughtered, because when you slaughter a carbon out of the azar, it's not ruhi, it's not fit, it's not fulfilling the obligation of a carbon, and it's invalid. So it's like the first one was killed. If the first one was killed, so sheni mekabel b'fnimu, so the second one, actually today would be viable in the azar. If that's the case, karis nam el chayv. So you should even be chayv karis. Why is he only saying that? This is leisasei. So Vamar Rabba says, Vamar lo kedi, and some say it was kedi, that you're right, this braisa chesur mechzer, this word's missing. This is the way you have to read the braisa. And we'll reevaluate it after we explain what the braisa is. There's different cases the braisa is talking about. Kachim shneim b'chutz, where that what we thought initially the case we were talking about that was describing this opinion of Reb Shimon. No, there's actually different cases that the word's missing. Regarding the case of both of them are kachim and they're both being slaughtered out of the azara. So l'rabbana, according to Rabbana, that they say shchita she'en ruya is still called, quote, a shchita. So rishon anish karas, so the first one gets karas for slaughtering a carbon out of the azara. Sheini pasul, the second one is invalid because ultimately it's a carbon being slaughtered outside the azara, not inside. But upater, but he's going to be exempt from karis milav de shchutei chutz, from the prohibition of slaughtering in the outside because it's not accepted inside. So therefore, there's no karis. L'Reb Shimon in this case, which we thought he was saying loisa, say no. In this case, you're right. Shneim anushim karis. According to him, both of them you'll be chayav karis for. First one because you slaughtered a carbon outside, and additionally the second one because in the context, the first one was like it was killed, because it's a shechita sheni ruya. So in that context, the second one would still be viable inside, to be liable karis for slaughtering it out of the azar. Now, however, that is only in the context of shechutei chutz, that although that, yeah, it's not, it's killing it, but still you're going to be, even though it's not, quote, ruya, you'll still be chayiv, because that's gzeiras hakasev, that slaughtering outside, you're chayiv for. So obviously, the Torah considered slaughtering in the context of being chayiv for shechut dechutz. But again, it's still going to make that the second one is viable in the halachas of kachem, of karbanis, to be have been brought inside. So you're right, according to Rav Shimon, in that case, both of them, you'll be chayiv kars. But there, again, are other cases that we're missing from the words of the Braisa. The Braisa continues, Echad Bachutz. So let's say one of these kachem first was slaughtered out on the outside of the Azar, and then afterwards, Echad Bifin, the second one was then slaughtered in the Azar. So L'Rabbanan, in this case, according to Rabbanan, Rishon Onish Karis, the first one be Chayiv for Karis because he slaughtered out of the Azar. Sheini Pasul Upatr. The second one, his carbon will be Pasul because it's Eisei Ves Benai, but he's going to be exempt from Karis. Now, what we're discussing over here is we're discussing in the context of Shchut Echutz. Regarding Shchut Echutz, obviously he's Pater, which as Rashi explains, you're right, it's not really necessary to tell us that. It's only because we said the first one's Chayiv, so we say the second one's Pater. Obviously he's not Chayiv Shchut Echutz to be slaughtering in the Azar itself. And that is regarding what we're saying is Pater, but actually regarding the Lav of Eisav Es Benay, we're not talking about there. That halacha is only there discussing Shchut Echutz, because actually he is violating and would be liable for Eisav Es Benay, and that's actually why it's possible. But again, he's going to be Pater because of Shchut Echutz. Now, Reb Shimon in this case, no, Sheini Kasher. The second one that's being sacrificed, that's being slaughtered in the Azar, is actually Kasher. Because according to him, the first one was, quote, killed, because it's a Shechita Sheini Ruya, it was done out of the Azar. And so therefore the second one's not Mechutz Zman. There's no problem of Eisei Aves Benoi, where, oh, you slaughtered the mother today. You didn't slaughter the mother today, you killed the mother today. And again, all the term that we're talking about over here in this halacha are discussing Shchut Echutz. It's not discussing the halachic ramifications of Eisav Es Benoi regarding the liability. Now, the next case is really the case which was chaser, which was lacking from the Braisa. That was where we have this halacha of Reb Shimon. Echad b'fnim ve'echad b'chutz. Let's say first, the first kachim was slaughtered in the Azar, and the second one was slaughtered out of the Azar. So, l'rabbanon kon d'rabbanon, rishon kasher pata. So the first one is valid and is exempt because it was a regular carbon being slaughtered in the Azar. Sheini pasul. The second one is going to be invalid because it was being done out of the Azar. But a pater, he's exempt from the liability of Shchut Echutz because it's not accepted inside, because you already slaughtered the mother on the same day. So if it's not roi b'fnim, she nechay b'chutz. L'Reb Shimon, this is the case, according to Reb Shimon, sheini b'loy sase. The second one will be violating a negative prohibition. Now, there won't be karis, because you're right, even Reb Shimon agrees, it's not accepted inside, because the first one was a shechita ruya, it was slaughtered in the Azara. So this one cannot be slaughtered today, the second one, because of Eisav Es Benai, so you're not going to get karis, because it's not fit inside, but again, like we explained, Reb Shimon holds, since it would be royal la'achar zman, he still holds, you'll be violating loy sase. Okay, so we understand the case of the Braisa. Concludes Rabbi his question. If you're going to say like Rav Amnuna, that Rav Shimon in general never holds that there's going to be a liability of Eisav Es Benoi by Karbanis, because it's never considered Shechit Ruya, so then then in this case we just described when we explained finally the halacha of the Braisa, that we have echad b'fnim ve'echad b'chutz, that the second one's going to get a leisa say and nothing more. Why? Karis name l'chayv. There should even be a liability of karis because the first one was not, quote, shechita. You say anytime a carbon is slaughtered, it's not considered a shechita. So therefore, the second one is fit because there is no problem of Eisav Es Benoi. It's not mechutz zman. So then, now that you're doing it outside, it's fit inside. So you should be chayv karis. Why say only leisa say? Say, Ela Amar Rava, rather, Rava says, that cannot be what Rav Nun had said, because it's not true. That we do find that even by Kachim it is considered Shechita. But Hachikam Rav Nun, this is what Rav Nun was saying. Ein Malkus Eisav Es Benoi Nek B'Kachim. Yeah, the prohibition of Eisav Es Benoi applies according to Rav Shimon. But to get lashes for that violation of Eisav Es Benoi, that does not apply by Karbanis. Why? Kim in the Kaman Dulei Zarek Dam Le Mishteri Basa, as we said, that since the meat of the carbon is not permitted until the blood of the carbon is thrown, so be'idna de kashachet, at the time when the animal is slaughtered, havi hasra safik. That makes it a doubtful hasra. Why? Because you're not for sure going to be violating the isser, because maybe the blood of the carbon will never be thrown, and then it's going to end up being that the shechita was not a ruya because it never made the meat permitted because you never threw the blood. But the warning has to be when you're going to slaughter, because that's when the violation is. But if someone's going to warn at that time, v'asra safek lo yishma asra, a doubtful asra in halacha is not considered a valid asra. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, yeah, there's going to be a prohibition, a violation of the iser, because if the blood ultimately ends up being thrown, then you violated that iser. But you can't get lashes because you can't warn the person beforehand because you don't know for sure what's going to happen. However, that's what we're saying, that it's not really viable inside to make the second one chayv karas by slaughtering on the outside, because the first one, when it's slaughtered and the blood was already thrown before the slaughtering of the second one, that was considered a shechita ru'uya. So ultimately, it was ru'uya. So the second one is not ru'uya. So it can't be chayv karas, but again, it's still going to be the isra, like the way we explained for Reb Shimon, but you can't get lashes because it's asra safik. That says Rashi's the interpretation he heard, which goes with the Girsa in our Gemara. But Rashi is difficult with that, because why is this considered hasra suffix, says Rashi? What do you mean? The second slaughtering most definitely is not ru'uya. Because since there's an iser, Isab es benoyu, saying that Rabbi Shimon agrees to that applies by kachim, that makes that, so the first one was a shechita ru'uya. So that makes the second one mechus hazman. You can't do it today. So it's not a shechita ru'uya. So there's no warning at all. So therefore, says Rashi, not to have the girsa that of the explanation of this halacha of asra safik in our Gemara, rather just say that there's no lashes that Rav Nuna was saying by Yosef es Benoy by Kachem, and that's it. So what is the reason? The reason is, like Rashi's saying, because the second shechita is not a shechita ru'ya. Because since the first shechita was ru'ya with its blood thrown already, so the first one was a shechita ru'ya, so, and as Rashi explains, because we're explaining Rav Amnuna, Nalik Rabbi Yishai in the previous daf, who said any shechitas kachim according to Rav Shimon is not going to be ru'uya. Again, because it's not the shechita that's permitting it, he held it's only the blood. No, shechita of kachim is ru'uya. It's the second one that's not ru'uya because it's mechus hazman. And therefore, the blood cannot be thrown. And that's why you can't get lashes for that iser. And therefore he says that the interpretation of our Gemara, of saying asura safik, is a mistaken interpretation by a sharp and well-versed person, but still not the correct interpretation. But we'll continue that interpretation, because that's the one we have in our Gemara. Says the Gemara, v'azda Rava l'tamei. Rava goes according to his same reasoning, where we had just explained the Gemara, that he says, when you're slaughtering kachimus eisei v'espenai, it's a doubtful hasra, therefore, although ultimately you might be violating an iser, and therefore it's forbidden according to Rav Shimon, but you can't get lashes because you can't warn the person at the time, because it's contingent on if the blood's going to be thrown. Rava says the same thing somewhere else. Because the Amar Rava, he said, "Hi chulin ubena shlam." If the mother is unconsecrated, but then the child was consecrated as a korban shlam, and shachat chulin, and first the mother was slaughtered that day, v'achkach shachat shlam, and then the shlam, the son, was slaughtered that same day, says Rava, "Pater." Is he made an exemption from lashes? Why? Because, like we're saying, it's hasra safek. When you're warning him, don't slaughter that child because you slaughtered the mother that day, but it's not clear if that's going to be a shechita or not to be liable for it, because it will be contingent on if the blood's thrown or not, which, again, this halacha of Rava is obviously going according to Reb Shimon, that says if that would be a shechita ru'uya is a element or not. Now, but let's say shlamim, let's say he first slaughtered the shlamim inside the azar, v'achkechulin, and then he slaughtered the chulin on the outside, the mother, then there would be a liability, because that's a definitive hasra, because the blood of the shlam was already thrown, and therefore that was a shechita ru'uya. And the second one is not lacking any zrika, because it's chulin, and therefore when you come into slaughter, that's going to be the actual shechita, and then you can warn the person for sure, you do this, you're violating Eisav Es B'nai to get lashes. Now, however, another halacha on this halacha of Amar Rava, he says, "Hi chulin u'bena oila." The mother is a chulin, and the child was consecrated as a korban ayla. So he says, "Loy mi baya shachat chulin ba'achkach shachat ayla de pater." I don't have to tell you that if the mother chulin was slaughtered first, and then the child, the ayla, was slaughtered second, that you can be exempt, because again, that's asra safik. We don't know if the second one's going to be considered a shechita, not to be liable for it at the time of the slaughtering, because it's contingent on the blood being thrown. But he says even more as we continue to base, alafel shachat ayla. Even if first the korban oila was slaughtered and its blood was thrown, and then you slaughtered the mother, the chulin, even in that case, pater, according to Reb Shimon, you'd be pater on the chulin. Why? What do you mean? Right when you're going to come to slaughter, that everything is going to be done with that shechita, is because shechita kamaita lav shechita bas achilhi. Because actually that first shechita was not ru'ya. Why isn't it ru'ya? The blood was thrown already. Yeah, but shechita is what makes it fit. Fit for what? Fit to be eaten. The korban oil is not eaten, it's all burnt in the mizbeach, and therefore that's not considered a shechita ruya, even with the blood being thrown, and therefore there would be an exemption, even in that case, of the chulin being slaughtered second from oisei ves b'nai. However, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yechani disagrees. He says, no, achilas mizbeach, shema achila. The consumption of the mizbeach is considered eating, considered consumption, therefore making it into a shechita ruya, to be liable for the chulin secondly, for the isa of oisei ves b'nai. Now, my time, what's the reason that it's considered achila? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says of a yikra, in the context of the halachas of pigul, it says, v'im ha'ochel ya'ochel m'b'sar zevach shlamav, if it will be eaten from the carbon of the shlamim on the third day, which the Chazal interpret doesn't really mean eating on the third day, it means someone had that in mind during the time of the Avoda to have it eaten on the third day. So that's le'yaratza, someone to bring such a carbon, it's going to be considered pigul. Now, it says, he'achel ya'achel. B'shtei achilas ha'kasim adab. The Pasuk talks about two types of consumption regarding pigul. That if you're slaughtering it with the intention of it being eaten beyond its time, or to sacrifice it beyond its time, which is the achil of the mizbech, it's going to be considered pigul. So you see, echad achilas adam, echad achilas mizbech, you see that consumption is both considered by a person and of the mizbech, and therefore it is considered a shechita ru'uya, making it fit to be eaten, quote, by the mizbech, by the oil, and therefore, if the chulim was second, Rabbi Yochanan holds that then there would be a liability of oisav espanai. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. We can continue on the theme that we'll be speaking about regarding Shechita She'in Ruya, which is a slaughtering, but it doesn't make it usable, it doesn't make it fit to be used, to be eaten, in the context of the halach of Oisav Es B'nai. Says the Mishnah, HaShechit V'nimtza Treif. If someone slaughters, and it turns out that the animal has a moral defect, which it doesn't allow it to be eaten, even if you did a bona fide Shechita. Or HaShechit L'Avay Dezar. Someone slaughtered the animal in the procedure of worshipping an idol. Or if Ashechid Paras Chatas, if someone slaughters the Paraduma, the red heifer, which is not something that could be eaten. Or Vishar HaNiskel, or an ox, after that it was judged that it has to be stoned, where the Gemara Kedushin and in Pesachim tells us that even if it's slaughtered before it's stoned, the meat is still going to be prohibited to have benefit from it. Or Ve'egla Rufo, if someone slaughters the decapitated calf, where it wasn't decapitated yet, which it has to be when they find a dead person and they don't know who killed him, where the halacha is that it's even forbidden when it's still alive, and therefore even if it's slaughtered, it's going to be prohibited. So in all these halachas, Reb Shimon Peiter, he exempts from the isser of Oisei Ves B'nai, because he says it's not considered shechita, because it's not ru'uya, doesn't make what shechita is supposed to do, it makes it permitted to be used, it doesn't make it permitted to be used. Because Avodah Zarah, all these things are what make it aser. But the Chacham Machayev, they say, no, there's a liability. Ultimately, you slaughtered it. You did a mother and the child in the same day. Although, yeah, it's prohibited to have benefit. They don't hold Shechita Sheinu Ruya, Loish Meshchita. However, concludes the Mishnah, but HaShechit V'nisnabla B'yadei. But if someone is slaughtering and unwittingly he makes it into a nevela, he doesn't do a proper Shechita, or V'hanoicher V'hama'akar, Noicher is when they tear from, Noicher is from like the nostrils, tears from the animal nostrils all the way down to where the animal's heart is. And that's how he kills the animal. Or Vama'akar, if he just uproots the simanim of the animal knowingly. So there, Patur Mishum Eisav Es B'nai. There, even according to Rabbanan, they would be exempt from the Isra of Eisav Es B'nai, because here it's not a Shechita at all. It's not like the cases previously where it's a bona fide Shechita. It's just prohibited because of some other secondary reason, because of the Zara, because of Egla Rufa, Kashar Niskal. Here it's because it's not a Shechita, and there even Rabbanan would hold that that's not violating the Isra of Eisav Es B'nai. Now, Amr B'Shem Alakha, she qualifies in the halacha of HaMishnah. He says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn. In one of the cases, the second case, that if someone's slaughtering the animal for idolatry purposes, that according to Rabban, you're still going to be liable for Eisav Es B'nai. Says Ripshim Malakish, that's Elah Sheshachad Rishon L'Avodah Zarah. That's only if he slaughtered the first one for idolatry, and then he went and slaughtered Visheni L'Shulchan, the second animal, for his own purposes, for his table to eat. So that's where we're going to qualify first the warning of the second animal, which that's the violation of Eisav Es B'nai, and we're going to give the person lashes. Then we'll judge him for the warning of the first slaughtering, which was Avodah Zarah, and then we'll kill him. Or it could even be talking about two different people. So that, yeah, one person's going to get lashes for Eisav Es B'nai, and the other one's going to get killed for Avodah Zarah. Avo Rishon L'Shulchan B'Shein L'Avodah Zarah. But if the first one was slaughtered for his own table, and the second one, whether two people or the same person, was for idolatry purposes, so that comes out that the second Shechita has a problem both of Eisav Es B'nai, which would give lashes, and it's also something that he should get killed for because of Avodah Zarah. So then Pater, there he's going to be exempt from lashes, because the Gemara Ksubis tells us in Perkei Lanayis, Lama Heimad Al, from Psukim, that we don't give a person two punishments. The Kamle, but the Rabbanei, he only gets the more severe of the two punishments, which will only get the death penalty, but he won't get the lashes for the Eis of Esbenai. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yechon, Rechon said to Rish Lakish, who is given this qualification, Allah of Amishnah, he says, Zu, what you just said? Even school children know this idea, where we don't give someone two punishments for one Isser, for one act. Ella, rather, if you wanted to teach us some type of a chiddush, a novelty in the halacha of a mishnah in qualifying it, you should have said as follows. You should have said that actually pa'amim sometimes that the lashes that our mishnah says according to Rabban that you'll get for Isab es benoi when one of them is slaughtered for avodah zarah could even be shafil shachad rishon l'shulchanai, even if the first one was slaughtered for his table, v'sheni l'avodah zarah, and the second one was slaughtered for avodah zarah, that chayiv, that he would be liable for the lashes of Isab es benoi. How? Isn't there kamla b'rabban that he's getting death for the avodah zarah? Says Rabbi Yechon, it could go into Asr Bei Mishum Eisav Es Benai. The case could be when they only warned him before he did that act of slaughtering the second one of Avodah Zarah because of that he's violating Eisav Es Benai, V'loi Asr Bei Mishum Avodah Zarah. And they didn't warn him that he's violating the Isra of Avodah Zarah, where therefore he can't get killed because you have to have a warning. And they didn't get the warning for being killed, and therefore he'll get the lashes for doing Eisav Es Benai. But Rav Shimon ben Lakish, I mean, he would tell you no. Kiven Dechi Asr Bei, since if they would have warned him regarding Avodah Zarah, he would have gotten killed, and then Pater, he would have been exempt from lashes. So Kilo Yasra Beinami, so then even when they don't warn him regarding the halacha of Avodah Zarah, and therefore you're right, he's not going to get killed. But since in this prohibited act that he's doing, there is an element that he could have gotten killed, so Pater is going to be exempt, and he's not going to get lashes, as the Gemara Ksubis over there teaches from Sukkim and Elanaris, why, if he would have gotten, even when he's not getting, he's not going to get the lesser punishment too. And says the Gemara of Ozel Tamayu, and this machlokes Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon goes according to the reasoning elsewhere, because the Chiyasr Avdimi Amu, when Avdimi came, he said the following halacha: Chivim Mises, regarding something that someone did, that if he did it deliberately, he would get the death penalty. But he did it shaygin, he did it by mistake, so he's not getting a death penalty. Or similarly, Chivim Malkis, something that if someone did it deliberately, he would get lashes, which means like when he gets a warning and he did it deliberately. But he did it shaygin, he did it by mistake. And the Davar Achar, which this Davar Achar is going in both cases, whether the case of Chiv Meisiz Shagin or Chiv Malkiz Shagin, either one of those cases, he additionally had another liability at the same time. Meaning, for example, let's say the case of Chiv Meisiz Shagin and Davar Achar is, let's say he violated a sin without being warned, which that makes him Shagi, that he did erroneously. And there would have been a death penalty had he been warned. Now, besides that, there was also another liability at the same time. For example, let's say lashes, where they warned him for lashes, like the case that we just described before, for Eisav Es Benoi, or some other liability, let's say a monetary penalty. So Rabbi Yechon Amachayev says that for that other thing, that person will be liable with the death penalty, meaning because he's not getting killed because he wasn't warned. Or let's say the other case of Chiv Malkis Shagin Medava Acha, where he violated a sin that had he been warned, he would have gotten lashes. And at the same time, he was being liable for something that's a monetary penalty. For example, let's say he ate his friend's Meiser Sheni out of Yerushalayim. So there's a liability that it's his friend's money that he stole from. And also that he's eating Meiser Sheni, which is punishable with lashes for eating it out of Yerushalayim. Or let's say a Nevelo or a Treva of his friend, where if he's eating that, so he's violating an Isser, at the same time he's stealing his friend's money. But they didn't warn him regarding the lashes. So Bi'ezlan says, you're going to be liable for that other thing, for that monetary penalty. Rish Lakish Amapati says, no, that you're going to be exempt, as the Gemara explains. Bi'ezlan the Machaibi says, he's going to be liable because they didn't warn him regarding the greater punishment. So you're not getting that, so there's no Kom L'Birabne, so you'll be chai for the lesser thing. Rish Lakish Amapati says, no, you're going to be exempt. Because the Chiv and the Chiyasr Bei Pater, since had they warned him on this thing, he would have been exempt for the lesser thing because of Kim Libramanei. So look, Chiyasr Bei Nami Pater, even when they don't warn him, he's going to be exempt. Says the Gemara B'Tzricha, we needed both of these machlekes, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechonon, both in the context of our Mishnah and of that other halacha. Why? The Yashmin Baha had we only taught their machlekes in the context of our Mishnah. So I would have said Baha come Rabbi Shimon Lakish only in the context of halacha of our Mishnah, as Rish Lakish say that the one who does the second animal of Avodah Zarah is going to be exempt from Malkus. Why? Because in this slaughtering, there's an element of death. So if you're getting death, so obviously we're not going to give him lashes too, because we're not going to give two punishments in the body of the person himself. You're already killing him. You're not going to give him lashes before you kill him. So therefore, even when you don't warn him regarding the death, and he's not going to get death, but already that, we'd already said that there's not going to be lashes. But, Av Baha, But in that other context, regarding chiv misa shaygin b'davar acher, for example, let's say that other thing was a monetary penalty, where one of them was in the person's body, the other thing is in his wallet, in his money, in his financials, then I would say that Rish Lakish Rishol, that you do impose both of them. It's only when you actually kill him that he's not going to have to pay because of kabbalah rabbanei. When you don't kill him, then he would have to pay. That's what I have to say. Even over there, Rish Lakish says, no, he's not going to have to pay even when you don't kill him. And therefore, since Eimah Maidel Rabbi Yechonah, I would have said that he agrees to Rabbi Yechonah over there, so we have to say it over there. So to the other way. Vietnam Baha, had we only said that halacha regarding Chiv Misa Shaygin or Chiv Malka Shaygin Medava Acher, Baha come Rabbi Yechonah. That Rabbi Yechonah says that you're going to be chayv because those are two different elements. So yeah, if you're not going to get this, you're for sure going to have to pay this. Av Baha, Eimah Maidel Rabbi Shem Malakish, but in the context of our Mishnah, I would say that he agrees to Rabbi Shem Malakish, that no, since they're both in the person's body, that we never impose the penalty of Malkus by an Avera that has the punishment of death in it. And therefore, even when you're not getting the death penalty because it was done b'shagig, still you're not going to get it. So Tzricha, therefore, you have to say in both contexts, this machlik is Rabbi Yechonah and Shem Malakish, that in both of them, Rabbi Yechonah holds that you're going to be chayiv when you don't get the more severe penalty, and Rosh Lakish holds that you're going to be potter.